I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. Are you all very happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Yes, I trust you are. And how wonderful it is that the Lord has given us this opportunity to worship Him, the opportunity to come before Him and to address Him as our Heavenly Father. Let us never take all this privilege for granted. Yes, because it is not everybody who can call God his father or her father. It is only those who have been saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that can address Him as our Father or my Father. Now, a little update on the progress that we are making with regards to the purchase of the property. We have made known our desire to Mother Church. They are deliberating over the matter, and the Lord willing, in the next week or so, we should be able to find out from Mother Church what kind of support they are going to give to us. And the Lord willing, this property will be ours. And we know for sure that if it is the Lord's will that we have this property, nobody is going to take it away from us. Alright, so let's have this faith as we think of the prospect of purchasing this property. Good to see all of you, and those who have been away, welcome back, and those who have visited us in previous times and you are here, we are so happy to see you here today. Now the subject today is, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, and I speak from John chapter 14 verses 1 to 3, the short passage that we read earlier on. The Lord Jesus Christ said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So these are words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Alright, let not your heart be troubled. Now one of the oldest diseases must be this disease called heart trouble. Now the first heart trouble must have occurred in the hearts of our first parents, Adam and Eve, after they had sinned against the one true living God. Filled with guilt, and that was the cause of their heart trouble. Filled with guilt, they tried to hide from the one true living God. And surely they must have suffered another kind of heart trouble sometime later in their lives, when the first murder occurred after creation. The murder of one brother by another brother. Yes, it must have been very, very heartbreaking for Adam and Eve to see their first son, Cain, killing their second son, Abel. Yes, their heart must have been broken. Their heart must have been very, very troubled. Now, since the beginning of creation till now, I dare say that heart trouble is something that is very common. Now, I ask you, do you not have heart troubles? Can anybody say that he has never experienced heart trouble? I dare say that all of us surely must have experienced heart troubles. And some of us are able to cover our heart troubles very well. We don't show them on our faces. Nobody knows that we have heart troubles. We are able to smile, able to talk. But actually inside us, we have got serious heart troubles. But others are not so able to hide their heart troubles. They manifest their heart troubles very clearly on their faces. So, isn't it very true? There are days when you meet your colleagues, your friends, your relatives, your brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, and straight away, you know that they have heart troubles in their heart, because their troubles are all written over their faces. Yes. Now, you will recall this man called Nehemiah, who was serving in the court of the Persian king, King Artaxerxes. Now, Nehemiah was a Jew, and he was actually serving as a faithful cupbearer in the king's court. And the cupbearer's job was actually to taste the food and the drink before the king consumed them to make sure that the food and drink will not be poisoned. So Nehemiah held this very, very responsible position in the king's court, the king of Persia. Now, then there was a day when Nehemiah heard this very, very sad news coming from the city of Jerusalem, that Jerusalem was in great affliction and was in great reproach. And the wall of the city of Jerusalem was in a very dilapidated condition. Now, upon hearing that news, of course, he was very, very troubled in their heart. He felt great sorrow in their heart, and he wept, and he fasted. And Nehemiah could not contain that sorrow of heart within his heart. So he manifested it on his face. Now, that was a very, very dangerous thing for him to do, because by that kind of appearance before the king, he could be very offensive to the king. And if he ever offended the king, he could be in very, very serious trouble. He could be very, very severely punished. Now, there was a day then with that kind of sad countenance, he was serving the king. And we have this record for us. I read these words for you. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 2. Nehemiah said, "Wherefore the king said unto me," because he was serving with a very, very sad appearance. He said, "Why is thy countenance sad? Why are you looking so sad? Seeing thou art not sick, this is nothing else but sorrow of heart," heart trouble. "Then I was very sore afraid." And of course he was very afraid, because he was not supposed to put up that kind of appearance before the king. That kind of appearance could be very offensive to the king. But God very, very mercifully intervened, and he caused the king to be very, very empathetic with Nehemiah. He granted Nehemiah's heart's request to return to the city of Jerusalem to rebuild the wall of the city of Jerusalem. Now, I mention the case of Nehemiah because I want us to understand that heart troubles are actually very universal. Yes, and that's what we want to talk about this morning. First of all, the universality of heart troubles. All kinds of people suffer from heart troubles. Kings, royalties are not spared from heart troubles. You just think of the heart troubles that must have occurred years ago in Buckingham Palace. Remember the situation in which Princess Diana separated from her husband, Prince Charles. Remember that? There must have been great heartaches in Buckingham Palace. And then some time later, there were also further heart troubles in Buckingham Palace, because Princess Diana died in a car crash when she was pursued by paparazzi. Yeah, she was trying to escape from paparazzi in a speeding car, because at that time she was having an affair with this Arab young man who was the son of a very, very wealthy Arab, the owner of Harrods in London. All right. Now, so royalties are not spared from heart troubles. The man in the street is also not spared from heart trouble. The man in the street could be jilted by his girlfriend, or he could be failed in his business. Young people could be suffering from heart troubles also. They could be finding problems in their studies or not doing well in their work, and so they have heart troubles. Now, what about older people? Do they have heart troubles? I dare say that they have heart troubles also, because they could have children that are very disobedient, children who are wayward, who are giving them lots of heartaches and headaches. Result, heart troubles. Yes. Now, the poor could be very troubled too. They worry a lot. They worry that their ends may not be able to meet. And then the rich also could have heart troubles also. They are very, very troubled because of their riches. You see, they do not know what to do with their riches. Some people do not know what to do with their riches. And some have a very, very hard time trying to write out their will. You know, they find it very hard to write out their will because they do not know whom to give the money to. Now, the sick. What about the sick? The sick have the heart troubles too. They worry themselves sicker because they are afraid that they are not going to get well. So the sick have the heart troubles. Now, what about the healthy? You think the healthy do not have heart troubles? My dear friends, they have. They're worried that they might get sick. So you see, all of us have heart troubles. Now, what about ministers of the gospel? Do they have heart troubles? I dare say that they have. They have problems. Think of the great Apostle Paul. Don't for one moment think that the great Apostle Paul didn't have trouble, that he didn't, there was nothing that troubled him. I say there were many things that troubled him. Yes, apart from the persecutions and the sufferings that he experienced, he also experienced this thing called the care of the church. I read this for you in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. Paul says this, besides those things that are without. Now, he was troubled by many things from outside the church. Persecutions. He suffered at the hands of the Jews, suffered at the hands of the Gentiles, and suffered at the hands of the heathens. Yes, he suffered from persecutions from outside the church. Then he says this, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Surely, my dear friends, the care of the churches he talks about here could have their accompanying heart troubles. You think that the care of the church will give a minister heart troubles? Yeah, it does. Yes, yes. Or they do. The cares do give heart troubles to the preachers of the gospel, pastors and ministers in churches. And one of the things that must have pained the hearts of the great Apostle Paul was the fact that there were false teachers infiltrating the churches in those days. And there were those who were taken away by false teachers. These kind of things must have troubled him a great deal. Now, what about faithful and righteous men? Do they have their fair share of heart troubles? Faithful and righteous men. I say they do have their fair share of heart troubles. Now, you take the case of Job. Did not Job have heart troubles? What do you think? I say he had plenty of heart troubles. Yes, he not only lost all his property, lost all his children, 7 sons and 3 daughters, and apart from that, he was afflicted with sickness literally from head to toe. He suffered from boils from head to toe. My dear friends, surely Job had his fair share of heart troubles. None of us, really, none of us are spared from heart troubles. Now, what about the disciples at that time when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to them, when the Lord said to them, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, were the disciples suffering from heart troubles also? What do you think at that time? I say they were. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said these words, let not your heart be troubled. Yes. Now, what was troubling the disciples at that time? Now, what was troubling the disciples at that time was they heard from the Lord Jesus Christ that the Lord was going to leave them. That troubled them a great deal. You turn back to John chapter 13, verse 33. John 13, verse 33. The Lord Jesus Christ said this to them, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, where I go, you cannot come. Yes. So they heard that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to leave them. That troubled them a great deal. And they had also perceived a little earlier on that the Lord Jesus Christ was troubled in spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ was troubled in spirit. And they also heard the Lord say to them, one of you is going to betray me. I say, that kind of talk surely must have troubled them a great deal. Look at John 13:21. John 13:21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit. The disciples must have perceived that the Lord was troubled in spirit. And the Lord testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Now you put yourself in the shoes of the disciples. Now, what have you given up as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, if you were Peter, Andrew, James, and John, you would have given up your fishing nets, right? Then what about Matthew Levi? Matthew Levi had given up his lucrative job of being a publican. Yes. And I'm sure the other disciples had also given up their all to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, with the exception of Judas. And now the Master says to him, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you. Yes. Whither I go, you cannot come. And one of you is going to betray me. Then you would say to yourself, but Lord, what's going to happen to your kingdom? Did you not say you're going to raise up a kingdom? What's going to happen to your kingdom? And what's going to happen to our positions? We're supposed to be occupying honorable positions in your kingdom. What's going to happen to all these positions? Now, is it any wonder that the hearts of the disciples were very, very troubled when the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, I'm going to leave you. Yes, no wonder at all. And then later on, after the Lord was crucified, buried, rose up from the dead, and when the disciples went out to minister, do you not think that they would be troubled also? What do you think? I say they would be troubled also. They would be troubled also, just like Paul. They also would have the cares of the church burdening them. Yes, they would be very, very troubled. But right now, they needed remedy for their heart troubles. Yes, they needed that. And in the future, surely they will also need a remedy for their heart troubles. And today, all of us here who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, do we not need a remedy for our heart troubles? I say we need a remedy. Yes, you may not have some very pressing heart troubles now, but sometime in your life, I can tell you that you are going to experience some kind of heart troubles. And you need a remedy for your heart troubles. And what is the sure remedy for our heart troubles? What do you think, friends? Jesus is the remedy of our heart troubles. So we have talked about the universality of heart troubles. Now let's talk about Jesus being the remedy for all our heart troubles. Sure, the 11 were already believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Judas was not a believer, but the 11 were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had believed in the Lord. But the Lord now yet has to say to them, believe. Believe even more in me. Believe. Verse 4, chapter 14, verse 1. The Lord says to them, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. You have believed in me. But now, believe even more. That's what the Lord Jesus was saying to them. The Lord had to direct attention to himself. You believe in God. Believe also in me. That was what he was saying. He had to teach them that God exists not in just one person. God exists in three persons. You see, the Jews did not have a clear understanding, a clear view of the Trinity. And I dare believe that the disciples were in the same position. They didn't have a clear understanding, clear view of the Trinity. Therefore, the Lord had to teach them the truth concerning the Trinity. And so the Lord said to them, ye believe in God, believe also in me. I am God. Believe in me. Now, there are various degrees of faith. Now, when we talk about saving faith, how much faith do we need? A lot of faith or a little faith? I say a little faith is good enough when we talk about saving faith. The faith of doubting Thomas would be as effective as the faith of courageous Peter. And that's the truth. But here we are talking about faith that comforts a troubled heart. Weak faith results in troubled hearts. But strong faith in the Lord will drive out troubles from the heart. You got it? Yes. How needful, my dear friends, that if we keep looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. How needful it is that our faith be strong. How needful it is that we keep looking at our Lord Jesus Christ as we run our Christian life on this, our Christian race on this earth. Remember that night on the Sea of Galilee, it was somewhat stormy, and the disciples were in the boat. Peter was there, of course, and the Lord was walking to the boat in which the disciples were. And when Peter saw the Lord walking on the sea, Peter said to the Lord, Lord, let me come to you. And what did the Lord say? Peter, you come. And Peter walked on the sea. All right. So long as he was looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, steadfastly at his face, he was all right. But as soon as he took his attention off the Lord Jesus Christ, when his faith weakened, when he saw the winds boisterous, he was in trouble. He started to sink. Yes. Ah, friends, we sink when our faith is weak. So we need to have strong faith. My dear friends, we sink when our faith is weak. How we need to look steadfastly at our Lord Jesus Christ to ensure that we are able to do our Christian walk steadfastly and securely. We need to believe in the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord to realize this truth. Yes, to know this truth, to realize this truth, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is indeed the remedy to all our heart troubles. Now listen to the testimony of this saint of the Lord. I've given this story before, told this story before, but I'll tell you again. Yes, the testimony of this great saint of the Lord who experienced great heart troubles. Horatio Spafford, that was his name. In his moment of unbearable grief, he turned to the Lord for the wellness of his heart. In 1873, this man, Horatio Spafford, who was a successful businessman, lost all his material possessions in the great Chicago fire. But that did not trouble him a lot, because this man was a very godly man, and he had set all his affections on things above. So when he lost his property, it didn't bother him a lot. Now, a few weeks later, his wife and four daughters were crossing the Atlantic Ocean to go to Europe. Now, somewhere in the Atlantic, that vessel that they were in was rammed by an English vessel. And within 2 hours, that vessel sank, taking down with it 226 passengers, including the four daughters of this man. His wife was spared. Now, this man, Horatio Spafford, then was on the way to Europe when he heard this very, very sad news concerning the perishing of his four girls. Then when the ship that he was in came to the spot where the ship had sunk, and he was, of course, grief-stricken, heart-sick with grief, Spafford suddenly felt an inrush of supernatural peace and comfort, so we are told, as he looked to the Lord for strength. And with tears streaming down his cheeks, he picked up a pen to record his feelings. And from this very, very comforted heart comes the words of this beautiful hymn. It is well with my soul. Spafford writes, when peace like the river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my Lord, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. You see, Spafford recognized that Jesus was the remedy to his heart trouble. And so he said, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Friends, Jesus is the only true remedy to all our heart troubles. Believe in him, friends, as he has urged us to believe. And he gives us this wonderful, sure promise. In Isaiah 26 verses 3 and 4, I think it's good for us to know these promises that come from the one true living God. If we recognize him to be the remedy to all our heart troubles, yes, this is his promise to us. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Alright, let's read these two verses together. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So, my dear friends, what are our heart troubles? Understand this truth. There is not a single heart trouble which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ cannot deal with. There is not a single heart trouble that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot resolve. The key is belief. And not only belief. You see, the disciples had already believed in the Lord. Believe even more. Yes, that's what we must be doing. how we need to pray to the Lord. Lord, help me my unbelief. Remember, there was one man in the Word of God who prayed this prayer to the Lord. Lord, help me my unbelief. What he was saying is this: Lord, help me overcome my unbelief. That's what it means. And let us pray this prayer. Lord, help me overcome my unbelief. Help me trust even more in you than ever before. Increase my faith in you. Now, let's look at the Lord's comfort for troubled hearts. Okay, that's my third point. The Lord's comfort for troubled hearts. The Lord is the remedy for troubled hearts. Let's look at my third point, which is the Lord's comfort for heart troubles. Verses 1 and 2 again. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. The Lord comforted his disciples by directing their attention away from what was earthly. He directed their attention to things above. Yes, he directed their attention to set their affections on things above. He directed their attention to where? To the heavenly home, where there is eternal joy, eternal peace, eternal comfort, where earthly things, including all our heart troubles, are things of the past. Now it seems the Lord was telling the disciples, now you have an heavenly house above, yes, from which you will never be cast away. After I leave you, yes, sure, you might be left alone. You might be thrown out of the synagogues. You might not be able to find any resting place, any refuge on this earth. But understand, my dear disciples, you have a heavenly home. You have a home up there. Now, isn't it very true when we are going through trials of life, the thought of heaven gives us much comfort. Isn't it true? Yes, sometimes we go through such great troubles and we say, Lord, yes, thank you, I've got this heavenly home. Yes, a place where I have got eternal peace, eternal joy, where all these troubles that I have on this earth will be a thing of the past. Yes, indeed, there is great comfort in heaven. And then this is the comfort. The Word of God tells us that we will be experiencing when we get to heaven. Revelation 21:4. All right, good for us to look at this verse also. Revelation 21:4. Revelation 21:4. All right, let's read this verse together. Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The former things will include all the heart troubles that we have on this earth. All these things will be things of the past. They will pass away. And then, friends, this heavenly house is my Father's house. Now, for God is not the God, only the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is also our God. He's our Father. Let's understand this truth. In John chapter 20, verse 17, remember after the Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead, Mary Magdalene met him, and the Lord told Mary Magdalene this: touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. Go to my brethren, go to my disciples, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. Not only my Father, your Father, he's also your Father. And say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. The Lord told Mary Magdalene that God the Father was not only his Father, but also the Father of his disciples. Isn't it very clear, my dear friends? God is definitely our Father also. He is not only the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is not only the Father of his disciples, he is also our Father. In the Lord's Prayer, the Lord has very, very clearly taught us this truth, that God is our Heavenly Father, my Father. Now, so it is my Father's house. Not anybody's house, but my Father's house. Now, being my Father's house, What can we say about this house? It is home. Yes, it is home. I will not be a stranger there. My name is written there in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm known there. And the most beautiful thing is, I'm expected to be there. Now, if you are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know this truth? That you are expected to be there. The Lord is expecting you. You remember the case of Stephen when he was martyred and when he was about to stone to death. This is what we read. I read for you in Acts chapter 7, 55-56. Acts 7, 55-56, I read for you. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Jesus standing on the right hand of God, waiting for Stephen to return to heaven. The Lord was waiting for him. Now, at the end of this life, when I leave this physical body of mine, when I'm absent from this body, present with the Lord, I will be present with the Lord. When I leave this body, I will be present with the Lord. Why? Because I'm expected there. The Lord expects me to be there. Now, do you have this comfort, my dear friends, that you are expected there in heaven? Do you have this comfort? Now, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not have this comfort. You cannot have this comfort because you are not expected to be there. You cannot be there. The Lord is not expecting you to be there. Now, how wonderful it is each day, after a day's work in the office, after a day's work at school, we return to this very blessed place called home. I'm talking about a proper, good home. What a blessing it is to return to this place called home. Home is a place of peace. Home is a place of security. It is a place in which we are shut out from the world. My dear friends, aren't you glad to be going home? Yes, after a day's work at the office, or after a day's work at school. I'm talking about a good, proper home. Yes, we all delight to go home. Our home in heaven surely is a place of peace, a place of joy, a place of comfort, a place of happiness. And all this will be eternal, friends. I ask you, do you have this yearning to go home? I know that some of us here are overseas students. I'm sure many a time you think about home, and you feel very, very homesick when you think about home. You yearn to go home. My dear friends, if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, this yearning to go home must become stronger by the year. Of course, if you are young, you don't think of this heavenly home. You see, I have many more years on this earth to live, and I've got many more years to prove myself on this earth. So you don't think very much about heaven. But as you grow older, my dear friends, increasingly you think about heaven. You will have a greater yearning over the years to get to heaven. Now let us understand this term. My Father's house is not what we think a house is. Yes, the Lord says here, my Father's house. It is not what we imagine a house to be. Now when we think of a house, straight away, what do you think of? Now when I think of a house, straight away, I think of a roof, right? A roof, and we think of the walls, we think of the windows, we think of the doors. That's what we think of what a house is. But let's read what this house is in 2 Corinthians 5:1. Alright, 2 Corinthians 5:1. Alright, I read for you. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now that's a little description of what the house is. It is a house not made with hands. This house is not made with hands, it is eternal in the heavens. My dear friends, let's understand this truth. No building is big enough to contain our God, because our God is infinitely great. He does not dwell in a house made with hands. Now, what else do we know about this heavenly house? The Lord tells us this. In my Father's house are many mansions. Yes, many mansions. Now, The mansion here refers to a place of permanent abode. Yes, a permanent abode. How grand, how beautiful these mansions are, we are not told. But for sure, these mansions in heaven are far, far more beautiful, far grander, far more magnificent than any kind of earthly mansion that you can think of. Better than all those millionaire homes in the waterfront here in Sydney, to be sure. Now, a relative of mine, I could have told you this before, a relative of mine, an unbeliever, has a very erroneous idea of what heaven is. She told me that she had a dream about heaven, and she said that in the dream, two heavenly beings took her on the tour of heaven, and she said that in the heaven, she saw all my relatives, she saw all my parents, she saw and all my relatives, and she said that they were all living in cubicles in heaven, all living in cubicles. No, my friends, the word of God here says what? In my Father's house are many cubicles, right? No. In my Father's house are many mansions. Yes. This permanent abode we have is far, 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 far superior to even the most magnificent houses that we can imagine on this earth. And the most beautiful thing about this beautiful mansion that the Lord talks about is it is home. Not just a mansion, it is home. Now, you and I know that buildings can be very beautiful, buildings can be very magnificent, the walls can be hanging with priceless art, the home can contain very beautiful, upmarket, expensive furniture. Yet, the place doesn't feel homely. Have you been to such a home? I have. I've been to such, I wouldn't call it home, I've been to such houses. Yes, of course there are people living there, the family would be living there. The house literally oozes with luxury. But when you come away from that house, you say, it's a house, a beautiful house, but it is not homely. Yes, but friends, this Father's house, my Father's house, is not just a house. It is not only a mansion. It is home, friends, home. Now, my question to all of us here is, do we have this home to go to when we pass away from this earth? Now, do you have this home to go to when you pass away from this earth? Now, why don't you make very, very sure this morning, if you are not sure whether you have this home to go to, why don't you make it very, very sure this morning by trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Repent from your sins. Ask for His precious blood to cleanse you of all your sins, and you will be very, very sure that you'll be going home when you pass away from this earth. Now, we have this comfort for our troubled hearts because this comfort is a sure comfort. That's why we have this comfort. It is not an imaginary comfort because this heavenly home is made sure by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says this, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." First, He says there is room for all of us there who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now there is room in heaven for all of us who believe in Him because this room was made sure for us by the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Yes, the Lord made it very, very sure for us by His death on the cross of Calvary, by His shedding His precious blood for us. Now let's understand this truth. No matter how spacious heaven is, and no matter how beautiful the mansions are, no matter how many mansions there are, friends, if the Lord Jesus Christ did not shed His precious blood for us on the cross of Calvary, there will be no place for us there. Let us understand this truth. And next, He says, there is not only room for us, but He's gone there to prepare a place for us. Now, how assuring these words are of His. Now, if He had gone to prepare a place for us, we can be very, very sure that this place is very, very well prepared for us. Now, you think for a moment. Now, your son is going abroad to do his study. And then, he doesn't know for sure where he's going to stay, and he's very, very worried where he's going to stay. But you tell your son, son, don't worry. I've already gone ahead of you. I've gone to the place. I've seen the place. I've reserved the place. I've booked the place for you already. I've made all the necessary arrangements. The place you're going to is going to be very, very comfortable. Now, does your son need to fear that when he goes to this place to study, he doesn't have a place to stay? He didn't have to worry because you have assured him that you have prepared such a place for him. Now, friends, this place in heaven has been prepared for us by none else but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one true living God. So we are guaranteed a place. This place is very, very well prepared for us. We are assured of that place. Now, how has he prepared this place for us? How? Now, he has prepared this place for us because he's able to prepare this place for us because he is our perfect high priest. Yes. Now, in the Old Testament, when the Old Testament saints wanted to have access to the one true living God, what they had to do was to bring the animal sacrifices into the temple to sacrifice. And the priest would sacrifice the animals on their behalf. And then this sinner, having repented of his sins, would then have access to the one true living God. But friends, understand this truth. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the perfect high priest. And he made one sacrifice, the sacrifice of himself. So that, my dear friends, now heaven is open to us. Now we can enter into our heavenly home. That is how, my dear friends, our Lord has prepared that place for us. And today, he has gone ahead as our representative to claim our rights to be there in heaven. Yes, today he sits triumphantly at the right hand of God. He intercedes for us. He prays for us to make sure that we are fit enough to enter this heavenly place when we finish our race on this earth. All of us, my dear friends, who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, whose hearts are troubled this morning, be comforted by this truth. He has gone to prepare a place for us, and assuredly we will be there. And finally, let us see that the Lord's comfort for troubled hearts is given by this hope. This comfort that he has for us is given by this hope. This hope given in John chapter 14 verse 3. Alright, let me read this verse for you. The Lord says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The sure hope, my dear friends, is this. He comforts us with this sure hope, and this sure hope is this. One day he is going to return. And when he returns, he's going to receive us unto himself, that where he is, we may be also. When he comes again, the dead in Christ, those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and who have died, they will be raised from the dead, and they will be resurrected and be with the Lord in the air. And at that time, those of us who are alive, who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air also. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And this truth is given to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. 16 to 18. Three very familiar verses, but I think it is good for us to read this hope this morning, so they will be very, very comforted by this hope that we have in Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 18. I read for you these three verses. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 18. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So be very, very comforted. Now, if on this earth we go through very, very severe trials, then at the end of this life journey, we have got nothing good to look forward to. What a hopeless end it will be. Yes, after a miserable life, our life ends, and then nothing happens after that. My dear friends, what a hopeless end it will be. If there is no resurrection, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to return, if there is no resurrection, no rapture to meet the Lord face to face, my dear friends, the Word of God says it very, very truly, we would be of all men most miserable. And that's true. Thankfully, the truth is, we do not have a hopeless end. But what we have is an endless hope. Troubled hearts, do you have this great and blessed hope that one day, yes, you will see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face when He comes back again to receive us unto Himself? Yes, if you have this hope, friends, you will be very, very comforted, even though your hearts may be very troubled today. The hymn writer says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till you see Christ. Heart troubles are no respecter of persons. Whether you are young, whether you are old, whether you are rich, whether you belong to royalties, whether you are a man in the street, my dear friends, you have heart troubles. All of us experience heart troubles. The answer to all our heart troubles, the remedy to all our heart troubles is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Faith in Him, my dear friends, is the remedy for all our heart troubles. My question to all of us is, have we been coming to the Lord to have our heart troubles resolved? Or do we try to resolve our heart troubles ourselves? We can't, friends. If we try to resolve our heart troubles ourselves, I think we are going to experience even more troubles. The right thing for us to do is to come to the Lord to have our heart troubles resolved. He provides the sure comfort by directing our attention to our heavenly home. On this earth, understand this truth, we have no continuing city. We are pilgrims. On this earth, we all of us will have a fair share of heart troubles. But all these heart troubles, my dear friends, will disappear one day when we enter into heaven. All these things, the former things, will pass away. All these things will pass away when we get there. And we will surely get there, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for us there. He cannot lie. If He has told us that He has gone to prepare a place for us, for sure He has gone to prepare a place for us. Yes, He has gone there to claim a place for us. And today He is praying for us to make sure, 100% sure, that all of us who trust in Him will arrive there safely. Finally, our Lord comforts us with this sure hope that one day He will come back again to receive us unto Himself. Are we ready to meet Him when He comes again? Do you have this sure hope of meeting the Lord Jesus Christ when He comes again? If you don't have this hope, you don't have any comfort at all, friends. Have this hope, yes, and you'll be very, very comforted. And how may you have this hope? Trust in Jesus today. Come and believe in Him as Lord and Savior. Repent from your sins. Receive Him into your heart. And He will give you this hope. And you will receive much comfort from Him. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the wonderful truth that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the remedy to all our heart troubles. And this morning, Lord, You know our hearts and You know what kind of troubles we are experiencing. We pray that all of us may, who have heart troubles, may turn to You for help. Help us to recognize that You are indeed the remedy to all our heart troubles. Lord, increase our faith in You and help us to understand that all comfort and hope come from You. We pray that we may trust deeply in You, for if we trust You, Lord, we will surely be comforted. And even if we have great heart troubles on this earth, we will still be able to live lives that are pleasing to You and glorifying to You, and be able to live lives that are joyful and are with great blessings from You. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.